the kufnan. I just wanted one beer aloha at the end of the kufnan. So the Ramah mentioned that the proper place to put the bima is be'emsa, in the middle of the shul. So look at the beer aloha on page 62. Be'emsa be'sekinesis. It says the proper place to place it is in the middle. Came over Baramba, Matur, Minakadamu, Makarba, Mesetha Sukkah, Nanalaf, Mabez, Kosha Kosova Gorah. The Gorah brings the Gemara to support this. It's a Ramah, Matur, it's a Ramah that the basic Knesset should be placed, the Bima should be placed in the middle of the shul. In our great sins, Be'ezim, Makarmas, Portsu, Minak, Kiduma, Mesetha, they've broken this Minak. Skill lasses of Bimus, some of Lauren Kurdish, they move the Bima up to the front, in front of Lauren Kurdish. They want to be like the Goyim, Shekaran temple in their churches, their temples, where they have their whatever they have it up in the front. And I would apply to them the following pasuk: they forgot their creator, and they built temples. The Poskim have come out very strongly against that change in the tzura, excuse me, of the Beis HaKnesses, moving the bima up to next to Oren Kodesh. So Mr. Burr sounds fairly adamant, very strong, that's improper to do. Okay.
This is where the Chosim Sofer says Chodosh Oser Min HaTorah.
Yeah, that's what Chosim Sofer says.
Right here.
That's it.
Now, when they say the bima should be in the middle of the shul, meaning presumably you have a mechitza running down the middle of the shul. So let's say if the men are on the left and the women are on the right, or vice versa. But the bima,
historically mechitzas women as a notion was actually upstairs.
And there were no women downstairs.
No, historically, and the bima was in the middle.
So it was in the middle of the quote unquote men's section.
Yeah. If you go to, we went to the Israel Museum. Yeah, so they have rebuilt shuls there.
All over the world. Yeah.
They have like four different shuls that they rebuilt. Every one of them, basically, the women were. What was interesting is the Italian shul, they had the men downstairs, women upstairs, but there was a mechitza upstairs, and the chazan was upstairs.
The chazan was upstairs?
The back, they had the men downstairs. They had a second floor where the women were like a half floor because it was open, a balcony. But the front of the balcony, there was a part which jutted out. And there was a mechitza behind him. And the chazan would stand there. So everybody could hear him. He was above everybody. So his voice carried very nicely. And women could hear him very well also. And that's what they used to do. I don't know. So, no, that's what they did. Anyway, Simen Kuf Ben Aleph. Dinei Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So we spoke about how to build the shul. Now let's talk about how to act within the shul. And the lachas of the Kedusha that you have to respect the Kedusha which is there. But the Knesiyas about the Midrash is shuls and Beis HaMedrash. Ein Noigim Behem Kalas Rosh. You cannot act with levity in the within their confines,
even when, let's say, there's no service going on.
Even no service, it's Kaddish, you can't do it. Kegoyin
Tzchoik. It's like you can't sit in the women's section even if there are no women there.
Kegoyin Tzchoik v'hitzol, you can't make jokes, you can't make
this is going to kill people.
Fun of people, fun of Sicha B'Taylor or Stam Shmuzing. V'enoch l'mashoysim behem, you can't eat there, you can't drink there. V'miskashim behem, v'mitaylim behem. You can't use it as a place to get dressed up or to take walks. You can't use it as a place of refuge when it's too hot outside. When it's too rainy outside, you run to the shul to keep dry. However, but the Talmidim who spends his whole day learning, so it's a big tircha to make him leave to eat. And the Talmidim which are learning with him, due to the necessity of not interrupting their learning. So Mr. Burr points out that it's only talking about people who spend the whole time. There are people who leave the shul for other reasons do not have this leniency. Now comes the Ran and says that this is only a chumrah in the Beis HaKnesses. even though in halacha the kedusha of a base of medrash is greater than that of basic knesses, because limud Torah is greater than tefillah. But on one hand, it's different, because since learning is something which takes place the whole day, so it never was made to preclude the person needs to eat or drink. So it never was made to preclude the need to eat or drink. Whereas the shul, because it's made for davening, so therefore you have, it's much more chomer. You have no reason to be lenient and eat there. You know, wait till after davening. You know, like, well, what's the big problem? You know, a person waits after learning. What do you mean? I learn. I sit in the basement all day. I'm sitting in the basement 18 hours a day. So when I got to eat something at some point in time. You can't sit there and make calculations, you know, to take care of your, you know, math that you have to do for your pranosa, whatever it is. Unless it's a calculation which you need so for mitzvah purposes. You're going kupa shal tztaka, pinyan shuyim. They're collecting money for tztaka or for shuyim, and they need to know how much they've collected, how much they still need, etc. They can calculate that. You cannot use the shul as a place of hesped, unless the person is one of the Gedolei Ha'ir, one of the leaders of the city. Okay. Shekol Bnei Ha'ir, Miskapsin, Uboyan, Lehespido, which everybody would then come to join the hesped. Now, this Kula, Mishabur will point out, applies one of two ways. The Gadol himself is Nifter, so therefore everybody's going to come to hear the hesped for him, so that that's proper, it should be done in the Mizek Knesses. Even furthermore, a leniency is if the relative of the Gadol was Nifter, the Gadol was saying the hesped, it's proper, he should be able to say the hesped in such a place. Because again, everybody's going to come to be able, in honor of the Gadol, to hear his hesped on his relative. Okay? Fine. Shekol Bnei Ha'ir Miskapsin Uboyan Lehespido. V'im Tzorach L'Kanes Bahem L'Tzorchei. You need to enter into the shul for, there's a reason why you have to go into the shul, not for davening purposes. For example, going Likur L'Adam. There's somebody in the shul, you need to call them out. So the law is you can't just go in for that purpose. So you call in, so you kramat, yermadav reshmua, rachakach yikrenu. Go in and read some chumash, say over a piece of Gemara, something of that sort, and then call an individual out. It shouldn't just appear that you're only going in for your own personal needs. You go into the shul to imbibe the kedusha which is there. I don't know how to read, and I don't know how to learn Gemara by myself. So what am I supposed to do? Crawly posuk shata karboy. Ask a child there, teach me something what you just learned. Or yishamaatz, or just at least sit there. Then leave. So yeshiva b'hamitzah, even sitting in the shul without doing anything else, is considered meritorious. Shenemar ashrei, praiseworthy or fortunate. Is Yoshrei Besecho, those who sit in your house. Just sitting there is considered valuable. Rishira Yeshiva, how long do you have to sit there for? Not too long. Kedei Hiluch Shnei Psochim. The time it would take to walk, the equivalent of two doorways, which is not a very long time at all.
What does that mean, two doorways?
So the width of a door is four Tvachim. So Chazal Yisrael, and you should enter in, go in the distance of the. So you're by the doorway. So you walk in right there. You're right by the door. You double that. You consider you've moved away from the door already.
What is it, like eight tefachim?
Eight tefachim.
Eight tefachim or eight amos?
Eight tefachim.
That's like one step. Maybe two steps. I mean, a tefach is 4 inches. So you're talking about, well, all right. 4 times 8, 16, 30. Or 32 inches. Okay, so yeah, you're talking about like three, not even 3 feet.
Right. Correct.
The point is you're stopping. You're not continuously going through.
Right. Okay. Now, the Das is before Shem Simon Sadi Sifkov. So over there, he takes you back to the Simon Sadi. Over Simon Sadi over there was talking about the halacha. When a person steps into Shul Tadavin, he should go the distance of two psachim. There was two opinions. One meant we're discussing distance. One said we're discussing time. All right, when you go in the shul, you shouldn't start davening immediately. You should come in, pause for a moment, and then start davening. One pshat, that means you should come in and actually step in a little bit and then start davening. So those are the two opinions over there. So according to the opinion that it means that you should pause, so that's the shear of pausing that we find over here. It's the same shear of being seated. Okay, that's a lot of information over here in the Mishabruah. Let's see the Mishabruah.
I can think of an awful lot of people who
don't want to learn the same.
They come into shul, they joke all the time, and I've even been guilty of it myself. God forbid.
So let's not worry about everybody else. Okay. So the Mishabura, Siv Cotton Olive, Kalas Rosh. Why? The Chazal designated that the status of a basic Knesset or a basic base of Medrash is the equivalent of a small Mikdash. And Kemodik Siv, Vayelahem, the Mikdash Mat. Person says, we, even though the basic Mikdash has been destroyed, the Russian will create miniature replacements for the basic Mikdash. Mikdash Siv, Bas Mikdashi Tiro. And by Mikdash, we know there's halacha, the Torah commands us, you have a chiyuv to stand in awe while you're in the Mikdash. You have to have the awe of the Mikdash. So we're connecting this. Now, is this Shehei Marashal Shechen Bo'alov? Okay. So now there's a machloikis in halacha. Is this a din deraisa? Or a din derabbanan. In other words, that we're extending, there's a concept called the halacha of mara mikdash. You have a chiyuv to be, have awe of the mikdash. The pasuk is referring to, clearly, the base of mikdash. The pasuk says, I think it's Yechezkel, that these are mikdash ma'at. So, if so, then that's true, they're mikdash ma'at. The Torah says, mikdash yitiro, they're also included in the law. Or no, the pasuk is talking about the base of mikdash, and not, this is only a din derabbanan. That's the machlokes. But there are many Rishonim hold it's the Raisa. And according to them, you're dealing with the Mamash and it's the Raisa. The Moshe Dersh over here brings that the Prima Gadim says it's only it's the Dinabonon. But he brings that the Reyim and the Smag and the Smak all say it's the Raisa. So you're dealing with the question when it's the Raisa. Yeah,
this mitzvah. How would you express this mitzvah? What is the name of this mitzvah of
Mara Mikdash?
Mara Mikdash.
Mara Mikdash. Having awe of the Mikdash.
And how do you do tshuva for violating this?
By stopping to do it.
Just karata, the simple standard tshuva.
The main thing is it's a zivus dechet. Stop doing it. That's your first step. Now, if you just want to regard to that, I once, a chaver of mine once told me from the name of Reuven Feinstein that you look at the Shari Tshuva says that the person who is constantly doing something improper, the Tshuva, the first step really is Zivus Achet, and Charata comes later. Stop doing it, and then the regret will come later. Is a person who's never done something wrong, and one time he transgresses, never done this before, and he transgresses, for him the main thing is Charata. But a person is doing it regularly, the main thing is stopping, and then the charata will come later. Obviously, there's some level of charata, that's why you're stopping. But the true charata only comes later. She says, for example, you don't really realize how bad it is, so you'll move away from it for a while, then you can look back and say, I did that. So he gives there's a person who, his life, he was a bursaki. He was a tanner. So tanners work in tanneries, and they don't smell so well. They come home and take a shower, and they still don't smell so well. It's absorbed into
their skin.
Right? So that's what it is, So one day he wakes up and he says, I don't enjoy the fact that I walk into shul, everybody moves away from me, I gotta get out of here.
Gotta find a different profession.
So he moves out, becomes some this, and years pass, and eventually he moves, he becomes a perfumer, and he works in a perfumery, and beautiful smells, etc. One day he walks by the tannery, and he smells the stench, and that was the person who's used to only very, very beautiful, sensitive, fine smells. He thinks, he looks at it, it's ugh. And he remembers, I used to work there. He faints. That's charata. But the charata only makes sense once you've moved away from it. Then you can look back and say, I did that? But while you're doing it, you don't really realize how bad it is. You move away from it for a while, you look back, and you can say, What am I doing? What am I thinking? It doesn't make any sense. Then you can really, really regret it. Till then, you don't really regret it. Okay. And the Moser Shmuz. Kosa b'smak, shalom oven kalos roish, be'ebesa knesses, te'pochem le'beis ha'gvodes gululim chasar shalom. You want to know why? Loy aleinu, shuls are taken over by goyim and become churches, is because people don't give the proper respect to the shul. So Moshe says, fine. You don't want to give proper respect to the shul. You know what? One day, it won't be a shul anymore. OK? Okay.
What do you say to people who act this way and you try to get them to stop? I mean, how do you?
You know what? I'm not dealing with giving us other people right now. We'll focus on ourselves. You tell them come to Rabbi Reingold's year and you'll learn some important things. Okay, that was an advertisement. Sichem Taylor. Hanafil Sichem Schulen Shila Tzarech Parnasa. We're not talking about, if you're talking about Sikha, which is just totally frivolous talk for no purpose, you know, it could be a problem, not in a shul. No, we're talking about something which is, it has a need. I need to discuss this issue for parnasa purposes. The Bechut Shori. So it's not something which is improper to discuss. I'm allowed to discuss that. But still, basic analysis is awesome. That's not what a shul is made for.
What if you're talking about your plans for Shabbos?
If you need to make arrangements, that's a tzarech mitzvah. Okay. If something which is stam, just totally chatter for no purpose at all, obviously you don't do that in a shul. The Zohar Kaddish Parshas Vayakel, the Zohar speaks at law extensively, strong language of how bad this avera is. So we move from it's also to discuss something which is a valid need for nosa purposes, not an issue. It's idle chatter, sure not an issue. What about lashon hara? Well,
that's from everywhere.
But kalva chomer, if these other language discussions are also an issue, so lashon hara, which is mamash and aveira, it's obviously much more problematic if it's an issue. That's totally a disregard. The whole idea of Mara Mikdash Demora says that you don't really have awe of the Mikdash, you have awe of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in the Mikdash. So here the Rasham is, I'm supposed to have awe of the Rasham who's here in the Mikdash. So you know what? Instead of focusing on him, I have a discussion with my neighbor about a job. Not good. Stop schmoozing about anything under the sun. Like, the Rasham is standing there, and I'm saying, like, you know, it's really interesting, you know, the football game. You know, it's one thing you say, listen, I have a need to discuss my pronosis. No, Rasham, you know, I'm sorry, football game is more important than you. Right? Pretty bad. In Brashim, you said don't speak. I said, I'm going to ignore you and speak against your will what in your house what I'm supposed to have it recognize you. That's like 10 times worse. Like, that's Lashon Hara in the shul. Basically, I'm going to be becoming Lashon Hara, Rechilis, Mechloikis, Mechatatis, Kimavache, Mavonis, Chemurimoid. They're on their own right, they are terrible avarice. Yidil Ha'ov and Yerzi B'makim Kaddish. So it's even that much worse in this holy place. It's almost an insult. I mean, okay, maybe, you know, imagine the first time you went to the Kaisel. You're attending all of the Kaisel. The guy tells you, you want to hear so much more? I said, you got out of your mind? I'm sitting by the Kaisel. Imagine a person was in the base of Mikdash, right? The guy tells you know what your uncle did? The guy has to be he has to be a madman. Like, what idiot would talk like that in the base of Mikdash?
Forgive me for, I'm a Levi. We were the guardians in the base of Mikdash. If a Levi who's on guard heard such a thing, would he have reshus to, like, I don't know, do you know, stab the guy? What? I mean, do something to stop him?
I don't know. Okay.
I mean, if you're saying that this is a totally, completely inappropriate behavior.
Right. So now apply that to a shul. That's the problem. That's why you're supposed to look at a shul. Shul is a mikdash mat.
Exactly.
So we understand why. So he says it's an avera terribly. Putting it in a holy place is even worse. And furthermore, kizum zalz b'chloed ha-shchino, you go into the king's palace, and you go against his will in his palace. That's much worse than doing it in your house. It's like a total chutzpah.
It's as the Goyim would say, it's in your face.
Right.
In Hashem's face, so to speak.
Furthermore, when you do it in the shul, a whole crowd gets pulled in. So it's not just you discussing with your friend, you pull in a whole crowd. This issue of having a disagreement is like the dam, and Mitkila huskal oven beza noshim. It's touched a few people. Besav yislakdu yischaber chaburis chaburis the reiv ishbereyu achinatsa kol basic nesses kimadura gedarlu. Reuven starts arguing with Shimon, and then Levi gets involved, and Beru gets involved, and Shmuel gets involved, and Yaakov gets involved, and the whole shul is a major fire going on. Whoa. So Rabim boy mizeh kam upon him charofis rigdufim about his ponim berabim. People insult, they curse, they embarrass. Kam upon Rabim b'fnei sefer Torah, and they do it with the sefer Torah is open. Like shegamzek shegam ket oven chomer b'fnei atzmai kivul mavaz zecher b'fnei tam chacham amar chazal shuk apikar she'ben lechelam. Well, the more says one shot. How do you find an apikaris? So Chazal says that a person, when it's all the time of Chacham, he's an apikaris. Okay, I mean you have no recognition of the value of Torah if you can insult the time of Chacham. But Mormon says no, it's worse. If in the presence of a time of Chacham you insult your friend, you're an apikaris, because in the presence of a time of, you're standing in front of Moshe Feinstein, you should be in awe of the Torah which is there, and if you don't have the awe of the Torah to the point that you can turn to the guy next to you and say an insult to him, you don't understand what Torah is. So that's more calls him, you're an apikaris. So imagine in front of a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is open on the beam, and the guy saying it goes to his friend and says, you don't deserve an aliyah. Who knows what? The more says, Ein l'chel l'mabo, v'kol shkem l'va, z'chver b'fnei Sefer Torah, l'chver ashkina, k'va shakos v'gein zeb etshuvas mariv, simikov l'mez mezayin shem. They are called the machinists. They hit each other. They give it to their mouth into the goyim. God chil Hashem shemayim ben umis. Then that's chil Hashem. Kigarim b'chol zeh. Umi garim zeh. Imo harishon shishlo aver tchila. The guy who started the conversation in the shul. But lost it over. Itoschar kenegas kulam. He Hashem will reward him after he dies appropriately for all of his wonderful accomplishments of destroying so many people, etc. Hashem will reward him appropriately. Can a yard record the Dvar Hashem? Yosin Tomin Ein of Aliba Lozeh Shal Yadaber Shum Dvar Mitalem Beis Knesset Beis Medrash. Don't talk in shul. The Mokim Azeh Yim Yuchad Etzlei the Rock Latar the Tefillah. And a shul should be only for the purpose of davening and learning. I have to tell you that by us Ashkenazim, we're not very good at this. I was once in a Sephardi shul in a certain city, and they're Machbet Gomer. There's no talking in the shul. All they do is daven there. The Emunas Yisrael has such a thing. But this is like, special chevra. This is like the traditional Sephardim, nothing. But in a shul, you walk into a shul and you daven. Now imagine if our shul would have that on Hagga. Every shul would have that on Hagga. You would automatically go into a different zone in your mind when you walk into a shul. This is a different, it's a totally different place. This is not my house. This is Kadosh Baruch Hu's house. There would be, our davening would have a different caliber to it because we would automatically zone into a different type of a anhaga while we're there.
As you say, you're walking into the palace of the king.
So the problem is, we sort of shoot ourselves in the foot, by undermining the recognition of the presence, so we don't get that extra oomph that the shul should be able to give us. Okay. Fine. You can't eat in there. You can't use it as a place to do work. It's a nice big place. I need to have some good place. I'll bring my things to sew over there and spread it out on the floor, like in the shul. There you go. You can't do malach in the shul. You can't go in because of the heat or because of the rain. Now, we said, in the case I go in to call out a friend, call out somebody, if I pause and learn some Torah, that's acceptable. What about if I go in because of the rain or because of the heat?
Well, what if you sit there and you learn Torah while you're inside?
And you say, I'll learn a little bit also. So we said, in the case I go in to call somebody out, if I learn a little bit, it's mutter. If I go in because of rain or because of heat, is there a heter of learning? Mishabura Sivkot and Dalit. Well, the Mahani Shikra Yishna Ma'at Knisasa. Here it doesn't help learning a little bit. Kill it, come on, like it says later on. Why? Because over there, the person's in the shul. You have to get him. So you have no choice but to get him there. Who has to use a shul as a place for protection from the rain? Go somewhere else. Now, you're going to come to the Baya Shachal. The Natsumi Achamabeg Shaman. Okay. Imlo, the one exception is the following. You were learning outside. It started to rain. So you can't continue raining outside. So then you go into the shul because it's raining outside. Are you going to the shul because of the rain? No, I'm going to learn in the shul because I don't know where to learn anymore. It's very hard to learn outside with the rain dropping on your head. So you're going inside to be able to learn. So then your kavanah is to use the shul for the proper purpose. So that's mutter. Okay. So going in to protect yourself from the elements is improper to do, because you should find a different place to do it. Now, but the people who spend the whole day in there, so that it's hard for them to leave, and making them leave, etc., would interrupt their learning. So we allow them, because of the necessity, to eat and drink there. Mutarim. So if we have poor people, we have no place to house them, so you need to give them a roof. The only place which you have available that could hold all these people is a shul. That's the largest building in the city. Or to feed them. Zot Mishabura, this is a taz, so that's mutter. Now, why is that mutter? I understand that there was like written into the original Kedusha that since the purpose of a Beis Medrash is to have a Talmud Chacham sit and learn there, and we know up front that the nature that the person has to eat, so if we built this, then a Talmud Chacham should learn there. And we know that he has to eat means we built the Chachilah with Rishos to eat. But that doesn't give a hat to someone who's not a Talmud Chacham learning there. So I have a lot of aniyim, I need a place to feed them, soup kitchen. No, do it in the shul, because nowhere else to do it. But that wasn't intrinsic in the original building. So, take a look at the Sharat Siyun in Sivkot and Dalet. Okay. Taz b'shem Ramban, kifima shehetek dvara b'vis yosef. So this heter of bringing in the aniyim is a quote from the Ramban. Taz is quoting the Ramban. So the Ramban already says this. Now, v'hatam, what's the reason? I understand, but why is it mutter? The reason is mishum de bate kinesias shebechutz lords al tanayim asuyas. The Mora says that in Eretz Yisrael when they built shuls, those shuls are going to stay there forever. So, but when you build shuls and chutz lords, you know that at some point we're all going to move away, move to Eretz Yisrael. What's going to happen to the shul? So we have to assume that when the shul was built, it was built conditionally. That if there's another need for it, you can use it for something else. So there's a Tanai in the original building.
That's the old Tanai shul in Prague.
Yeah.
That's where the name came from.
From a Tanai?
Yeah. Old Tanai.
Now, that's what the Taz says. Or that's how we understand the Taz. Zok the Sharat Siyun. This... The Gemara says Tanai is the Gemara says this concept. The case of the Gemara was discussing after you had a shul which was damaged and destroyed. What are you allowed to do in the place of the shul? So the Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael you can't do anything. The place was designated as the place of Kedusha. In Chutz Laretz you're allowed to use it for other purposes because there's a Tanai.
What if in Eretz Yisrael they designated it as a place where you could eat and drink also? Is that allowed or no?
We'll get to that. Okay. Okay. So the Morris case is a Tanai. After the shul has been destroyed, it's chur, but not yosh. It's not beyishu. It's chorev. The Gemara says over there that the Tanai you built in it works. Can we extrapolate and say that the Tanai also works while it's still standing? So this is a machlokes. Or the whole Tanai was only in regards to if it gets destroyed, it's no longer standing. You know what? You can use it for something else. But as long as it's a shul, it's a shul. And shul has limitations. Or no. In the original, even while it's standing, the Tanai prevents the full status of a shul taking effect, and therefore you can do other things there. So you see from this Taz at the Sharad Siyam, that he holds that the Tanai works even while it's standing. Which we'll see the Shulchan Aruch does not hold like that. Again, the mashomer is but the nizias for bubble al tanai las asuyus la lafka bubble. Look at us. I'm going to run with some cutting your base. Now, there's an opinion which says the more says but the nizias for bubble were built out of tanai. What about svarad or tarfas or italia shal yavim? The more says bubble. So that's the law of bubble. The Magarim says, no, it's not law of bubble. The only place you have a right to assume that became the minig was to build it all Sinai was in bubble. Anywhere else, if you spoke it out, you spoke it out. You didn't speak it out, you didn't speak it out. It's not there. In bubble, we can assume that. The Taz holds, no. The point of the Mar was not Eretz Yisrael. Anywhere else, like bubble, there's an assumption of it tonight. Cannot say, you rabbi the bubble of Taf. Okay. Now, but yes, Hashem began with that. So the Taz said you can use the shul to bring an aniyim to give him a place to eat or to drink. Some disagree. Who is that? That's the Magen Ramah just told you that was, we assume that it was built on Sinai is only in Bavel. Well, we're not living in Bavel anymore. We're living in Eretz Yisrael. We're living in France. We're living wherever we're living. And we don't assume this is Sinai according to this pshat. That's the Magen Ramah. So Mishnah Berurah says, so what do we do? Near the Malka Matak and the Hakram is that if you have a need and you have no choice, you rely on the Taz. Fine. Eat and drink, but within Lisha and the Shore, according to this, you're allowed to sleep there as well, which will not be mutter without a special heter. So, Mr. Burr, but even for Tamachachim, he's allowed to eat there, he's allowed to drink there, he's allowed to sleep there, because those are his basic needs. But there are certain things which a person is doing which are even more insulting to the Shul. So, I don't care if you're Tamachachim, you can't do it. For example, Avolas is Kapandriya. Kapandra means to make a shortcut. You know, I need to get from this street to that street. So I have two choices. I can walk through the shul, because it has a door on this side, a door on that side. Or I can go all the way around the block. So I'd rather make a shortcut to the shul. You're not allowed to make a shul as a shortcut. Can't use shul as a shortcut. So that's an insult to the shul. So I'm a tamachachem. Who cares? You still can't do Kapandra. Or the kaddish ben lebecham ben yacham and gesham ben yacham. To use the shul as a place of, you know, refuge, because it's hot outside. It's nice and cool and sure. It's air conditioning. Even this heter, the tamachachem, doesn't help you. Obviously, there's no heter for tamachachem for making jokes, etc. A certain daughter tamachachem in a muzal mer mikdash. The tamachachem also is a chiyuv to be have awe and respect for the mikdash. So you don't do these things in the base of mikdash, in a mokum mikdash. Okay? So now, what does the word midoichik mean? So the first shot means, doichik means there was partial issue of space. They're crowding in. That's what doichik means. Hanashah, you're mocking the doichik with Talmidim. Talmidim did not have a lot of space. So we're forced to use the space of the shul to give them space. So that's the doichik. One shot. Magarom kosel anoshim aloim mishum akviyas. Even though it's not, there's no pressure of space, but a person's there the whole day. He's there because he's there regularly in the day. For him, it's a shasat chak. Asking him to leave is going to interrupt his learning. He's about to leave, but once he's going to leave, where's he going to go? They didn't have sandwich bags, so you'd go back home. Forget it, your learning is killed. Go home. You know, you can't leave again so quickly, etc. Therefore, they allowed them. That's called shasat chak. Fine. Alim emain loim the basic nesses basic medrash. Asurim lechav lisha shom. Can't kiss kimmer kamer. You're not learning. You can't eat. Okay. Comes the Ramah. So the Shulchan Aruch lumped basic nesses and basic medrash together. Comes the Ramah, so they're not the same. We will point out that we look at the kedusha of a basic medrash greater than a basic nesses, and therefore the more says that Abaye would daven with a minyan where he in the basic medrash where he was learning rather than go to the main shul. And he felt that overrode the concept of Roi Ra'am Hadras Melech. So, because there's an extra Kedusha to a Beis HaMedrash. Kekamom and Simon, Kuvlin Gimel Sefalov. So what's Fed over here? It's here, Lud Elinyan, Chachamim, Talmid Eim, Shalom, Mishlom, Mekviya, Setir Lehem, Afilo, Shlomi, Doichik, Shum, the Beis HaMedrash, Hu Beisoy, Lalach, Chilim, Shtiyah, Vuhudin, Lachol, Tashmishim, Shori. This opinion holds, you know, this is where they live. It's not a doichik anymore. You know what? He could go out, etc. He doesn't need to. This is the right, this is his place. Tachachim belongs to the Beis HaMedrash. The Beis HaMedrash, he needs the Beis HaMedrash. The Beis HaMedrash needs him. This is his place. So he's allowed to eat there. That's how he understands. Okay. So that's what the Moshe says, that opinion holds its mutter. Test, shori. Ayin levush, Baach Shem Sadim Kenadina. The Baach and the Levush accept this opinion of the Ramah that the Beis HaMedrash is mutter shlomi daichik. And that Mishmur passes for people who learn their during the whole day, so they have a right. It would be very material to mechayev them to leave, etc. So we're going to rely on the opinion that it's mutter, unless it's one gedolah here. What's the case? Shemais kroyber shel a gadol. Like was that boy Rabbi lehesped? The gadol is being massive because his relative died. And because of the honor of the nifter and the honor of the gadol, people are going to come. Obviously, if the hesped is about a tamachochem, that situation you're allowed to do it in the shul. Okay, stop. New thought. Hari. The Rizal in the shul that he was in would not talk any words other than words of Torah. Just words of tefillah. He wouldn't even say Musar or etc. because he felt that that would, once you're saying those type of things, you get slipped into a conversation, and the conversation eventually becomes chol. So he did not want anything which is chulin. Having to do with the shuls, he only spoke tefillah there. So you walk over to him to just ask him a question. Can't speak. Okay. Now the last thing he said that a person should go in to get somebody. So he should first sit down and learn a little bit, and then get the person. The order has to be go there, learn, and then get the fellow. As opposed to get the fellow and then learn. Same amount of time, yeah, but it's going to be significantly defining when you do what. So if you go in to call the guy out, that's your main purpose. Then you add it, by the way, you know, yes, you learn something. If I go and I sit down and I learn first, so that becomes the ikur. Okay. Then he said, "What's it going on?" I'm sorry, I'm not seeing it.
What?
Now your base. I'm sorry. Yeah, you remember from. Okay, I'm fine. Shmuel here. No, the Shmuel. You know.
Yeah.
Where is it? Oh, there it is. Shmuel. Fine. Okay. So you say the word Shmuel, which means halacha or mishnah, and then go get the fellow. I skipped this happened. Is a Torah? The near the mirror is the Torah who rocked tefillah. If you first get the guy, then you say that the Torah looks like the Torah is just like an afterthought. You should stand there and pause the time it takes to walk. Eight psachim. Right. So, if you do your math, that we assume that a person could walk a mil in 18 minutes. So mill is 2,000 amas. 2,000 amas takes 18 minutes. 18 minutes, right, is 1,080 seconds. So 2,000 amas, 1,080 seconds. Basically, you're walking 2 amas per second.
I would put it differently. The average adult male walks at about 3 miles an hour.
I'm saying we're doing our calculations of tzvachim versus amas. We might as well start with the numbers which we know. Because I'll say that, according to one opinion, the more says it takes, there's a shear called the mill, which we have a plug is how long that is. One opinion says it's 18 minutes. So it's 18 minutes. And a meal is 2,000 amas, and 18 minutes is 1,080 seconds. So it means you're basically walking 2 amas per minute. That's per second. This is about an amma and a half. So it's about a second. So it's about the time it takes to walk that time. Fine. Okay, let's hold it here.